Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 224 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of October 19th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo, and with me as always is animated corpse, reanimated corpse, who can read when I can't, Dan Ryan.
Brains?
That's brains. Brains. You have them. You can read.
Brains.
We're finishing up our 31 days of Halloween coverage by talking about video game Undead. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include your brains and the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what brains you would like us to discuss, and in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to eat you and your brains.
Delicious.
Delicious. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Delicious. Been doing a C-Lab rewatch lately.
A suicide mission? So, get out there, Stormy. I could love that.
Delicious. 41 goodness.
The secret ingredient. Love. Damn it.
Harry Goss was a...
brilliant.
He was a treasure. Fig nuts for life. Anyway, Dan, how you doing? Before we quote C-Lab all night long.
I was thinking maybe blue. Like a hot Latin wind. Hedge man walking. I'm good, Chris. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm living the dream.
Living the dream. I am super excited that the weather has finally broke from Satan's asshole hot to, October.
Yeah, October. Just, overnight. Dropped like 20 degrees and everybody literally in the world got sick.
It was amazing. Everybody at work is like, ugh. What the hell is this?
My kids are snot fountains. I've been coughing. Karen's sick. Everyone's sick.
Yeah, it's terrible. The Yankees lost last week to the Red Sox, which... But we did, Chris, my family and I, celebrated my birthday late last week. And I got a super cool Clockwork Orange shirt that is not like... In your face, Clockwork Orange. It just says Corova Milk Bar on it, which makes me really happy. And my 78-year-old aunt got me Wu-Tang Clan socks. And that makes me so happy.
That was a hell of a sentence.
Right? And like, we were eating at a hibachi place because, we're white. And that's not funny.
With your Wu-Tang socks, yeah. Eating hibachi.
So we're eating at a hibachi place, and like we're opening presents, because that's what we do. We're those annoying people at a restaurant. And, my aunt is like got this big smile on her face, and I open up the socks, and I was like, oh, hey, Alice, I didn't know you were a big fan of the Wu-Tang Clan. And she just looks at me, and she goes, oh, yeah, love them. Love him to pieces. And the other people at the table thought it was about the funniest thing that had ever happened, that this adorably sweet looking 78-year-old woman was like, oh yes, my favorite. Oh, it was good times.
Good times. Love him to pieces.
Love him to pieces. And there was a really wonderful flash sale on the PS4 this past weekend, Chris. I don't know if you took advantage of any of the deals.
I didn't. I don't have any money.
No, I don't either, and I don't have time, but I did buy two games.
What'd you
buy? I bought the Burnout Paradise Remastered for $8.
That is a very good deal.
That's an amazing deal, and it looks phenomenal. And what's so cool about it is that this Remastered collection comes with all of the DLC stuff that they had released. So the Ecto-1, the DeLorean, the motorcycles, the toy cars, like all of that stuff is in there. And driving around Paradise City in the DeLorean or the Ecto-1 is incredible. And my daughter really likes playing it too. She, when we told her to go to bed tonight, she was like, oh man, I was just going to come downstairs and play the Crash Simulator. Like, oh, Not exactly what it is, but I mean, kind of.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's a pretty apt description.
But
the racing's good. The crashing is where it's at.
Oh, it's so fun. But we also got Donut County.
Oh, how is that?
That was on sale for like $9. Well, we got it on Saturday, and collectively between Tiff and the girls, we've beat the game like 4 times already. It's very short, but it is incredibly charming and like very, very zen and just nice to kind of swallow things into the whole. And like there's some clever puzzles in it where you have to do certain things. Like you can fill the hole up with water and then you have to expel the water out to do certain things. And like you can, there's certain bits like where if you get the fire before you get the popcorn, you shoot popcorn out. Like, and you have to do that in certain parts of the stage. And there's some really cool, really charming bits to it. It's very short. So if I had purchased it at like full price, the 15, I would have been a little annoyed, I suppose. But it was on the flash sale for like 8 or 9 and under $10, totally worth it.
Huh. Yeah. I've heard good things about this one and it looked interesting.
It's just a nice, relaxing kind of thing. You know, it's not as, the replayability isn't there as much as I would say something like Katamari is, you know, because Katamari you can always kind of get better at,
mm-hmm.
of like, oh, I found a new path to take through this stage, and oh, look, I can get it, you know, so much bigger in this amount of time or whatever. Donut County is relatively finite in that once you finish the stage, everything is gone. Like, that's just kind of how it works. So there's really, I mean, I suppose you could do the thing that we used to do as kids and invent challenges for yourself of like, I want to see if I can do this in 3 minutes, you know, but
who has time for that?
Right. It is fun though. It is fun. And if you ever see it for sub $10, I would definitely suggest picking it up. It's got some pretty cool music too.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Pretty cool music, you say.
Pretty
and came out this year, you say.
Cool music.
Well, I'll have to add it to my list.
You might.
I will do it right now, as a matter of fact, before I forget.
And then, apart from that, I spent more time with Tomb Raider, which is excellent. I switched it over for the first time from the high-resolution mode to the 60 frames per second mode. And, man, it is so weird to play games locked at 60 frames per second still. Like, it still is unsettling to me. It's not how video games look. But
yeah,
it's...
I'm of the mind that I will happily take a really good, like, 30-plus frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with movies. You know, like, watching TV and the, I was at Mike Sheridan's house.
Right.
Mike Sheridan, friend of the show. Fan of the show. Big fan of the show.
Castlevania. Big
Castlevania.
Fan.
And I was over at his house, and he has one of those, you know, fancy newer TVs.
Yeah.
And, like, we were watching something on Amazon that was in ultra 4K, mm-hmm. and it's just, it was unsettling watching it move that smoothly. It was like, this isn't, no, stop that. stop yeah, looking that way. It doesn't look right.
It's definitely weird. It looks... That's really when you start to notice of like, oh man, like I could reach out and touch Chris Pratt. He's just right. I don't know why I instantly went to Chris Pratt, but you know what I mean.
I do.
I want to reach out and touch Chris.
I just want to hug him.
I do. Yeah. So, but the game itself is really good. The story's a little convoluted, but been playing more through that, and I wasted all of my stones in Puzzle and Dragons trying to chase after stuff in the beach rem and did not get what I wanted, Chris. Very sad.
Son of a biscuit.
But I did get what I needed to trade for Ideal when the Dragonbound comes back around.
And, well, thank God.
Right? I mean, after all this time, it's about time. I'm very excited about it.
It is about
like, the
time.
Best card in the game. Well, the best sub in the game. Anyway.
Oh, God,
podcast for
subs.
Another podcast.
subs are the best. So glad I live where I live. There's so many great sub shops near me.
Well,
what were we talking about?
Sandwiches.
Just kind of got lost. In the thought of delicious meats and cheeses, as I am wont to do.
Now, when you get a meatball sub, Chris,
I don't
put anything else on it.
I don't get meatball subs. I'm weird with a lot of food, and meatballs is one of those things that I cannot eat if I didn't make them.
That's a really odd thing, Chris.
I got a lot of really odd things with food.
No, I know you do, but you can't eat meatballs unless you made them.
Yeah, raviolis for the most part, too. Just don't trust them.
What do you think they did?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's completely irrational.
What difference is there in meatballs from literally anything else that their hands touch?
Could not tell you. I will eat a cheesesteak, but I won't eat meatballs. I don't know why. It'll make me physically ill if I try to do it.
That is the most bananas thing I've ever heard.
It is. Which is why I give my son a lot of leeway with his pickiness with food, because I get it. I'm crazy, too.
I mean, you shouldn't. You're enabling him. But because somebody enabled your bullshit at some point, and now...
It's not a matter of enabling. It's either I eat and then barf, or I find something that I can eat without throwing up. You know, it's not like it's all this like psychosomatic thing. If I try to eat something like that, I will actually gag. And it's happened to John. He'll be willing to try something. We sit at the table, like, okay, I'm going to try it, and chew on it for a little bit, and then like a minute later, just because he just can't take it. And I get it. I feel terrible for him because I know what that's like. Of course, it's also frustrating as hell because sometimes he's just full of shit.
Yeah.
Because he's five.
Because he's five and he's like, oh, dad, I've discovered recently that all vegetables make me do that thing.
I'm going to throw up if I eat that. Yeah, sure you are, kid.
Yeah, sure you are.
You can't, because that's the other fun part of it. It's like, he can't fool me because I was him.
Because I'm also a neurotic psychopath.
Exactly. I get where the lines are, and you're making this shit up, kid.
We all got shit, Chris.
Yeah, we do. He's a good kid. Anyway, I've had a fun little week.
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally finished Mega Man 11.
How did you accidentally finish Mega Man 11?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Well, you did set me right up for it.
I sure did. I lobbed that one right at you.
You did. It was a softball.
So I'm playing Mega Man 11. I'm in Wily's Castle.
Naturally.
And the next stage is the skull, you know, the last stage in Wily's Castle. Now, in every Mega Man game since Mega Man 3, that's not the last stage.
No, it's
not. You get there, and then something weird happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there, Wily's Castle was kind of fun, more or less forgettable. I don't want to spoil too much. First boss in Wily's Castle was just like, oh, really? You're throwing this at me? You son of a bitch. And then the other bosses were really hard. And then I got to Wily, and I beat him without any special weapons on my second try. And then the credits rolled. And I was like, wait, what? That was it.
Really?
Yeah, no special things. And I thought something was going to happen. Wily, like, he's down doing his little, you know, out of his machine.
Yeah.
And then he jumped back, and I was like, oh, what? Oh. And then he just started bowing, and that was it. Credits rolled, little post-credit sequence, the end.
Huh.
Yeah. Pretty disappointed.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm so disappointed is not necessarily just because it really was weird that there wasn't anything extra tacked on there, because there always is, but everything leading up to that point, especially the stages, were really impressive.
Right.
Like, all the Robot Master stages and Robot Master fights, I was really impressed with. Like, the game has its drawbacks. I actually wrote a whole article about it that's going up this week, how it's, the game kind of feels like it is an evolution of Mega Man, but it's in this really weird place, because it had to evolve from both Mega Man 8 and Mega Man 10, because 9 and 10 were just complete regressions. So all of the modern stuff that they've been adding from 6, 7, and 8 was where we really started to see some interesting changes in what they could do with Mega Man stages and whatnot. they just threw all that in the garbage when they regressed back to the 8-bit games, which
right.
In hindsight, I still really like those games, but it is, as time has gone on, I've gotten kind of angry at them because they were a sacrifice to modernizing the series and having it continue to evolve. Like,
right.
It just kind of went too far backwards. And while they are good, solid 8-bit Mega Man games, we already had 6 of those.
That's and, true.
I wanted to see some interesting new modern things being added to it, like Mega Man 11. But at the same time, there was almost no exploration. There's no secrets. There's no stuff like in... I always refer back to Mega Man 7's Slash Man stage, where if you have Turbo Man's weapon, you can burn down the woods and find a hidden ladder and climb up. Or you can... the thing with Shade Man stage, where you can make it Ghosts and Goblins theme, and if you beat the pumpkin boss in a certain way, he'll smash down a different wall and lead to this whole other section of the level. And even a lot of
even the very first one, where you could, like, there's a thing back there behind that wall. How do I get that thing?
Yeah,
like,
there's
and
very
that was a
little,
bit more on the nose, but
yeah, there's a, there's like a few little things like that, like how do I get that power up that's over there? But there's nothing in the way of branching paths or environmental puzzles like they started to throw into Mega Man 8. And a lot of the level design in 8 I don't really love to begin with, but
sure.
The fact that they weren't able to take, not even that they weren't able to, but that they just kind of didn't, because I guess they felt the need to evolve through both 8 and 10, it kind of held itself back a little bit. You know, overall presentation, you think of like Mega Man 8's presentation with the anime cutscenes, like the voice acting was freaking stupid. But those cutscenes are cool as hell. Like, they're so cool to look at. And the cutscenes, almost all of them play out in this game like an NES game. They're all done in engine, so they look modern, but it's still mostly just everyone standing still with their mouths moving in Dr. Light's lab. So, you know, it's neat to have that kind of, I guess, throwback-ish nature, and I certainly didn't mind it, but it's... I feel like we would be farther now had they not regressed in 9 and 10. But all in all, I really love Mega Man 11. And if you are a Mega Man fan, I highly, highly recommend it. It is a very, very good game.
All right, then.
Very solid entry in the series. I like it better than Mega Man 8. I don't know where I put it in the overall pantheon, but 8 is my low point, and it is definitely better than 8. I mean, there were so many instances in this game where I was just smiling because it was just I was doing something really cool,
right?
So that's always a good sign.
And perhaps this is something that, you know, will age like a fine wine, or will be something that, like, as you revisit it, you're like, not so much. Never mind.
I've actually already gone back and replayed a couple of stages just because I remembered them being fun and they were still fun. And I'm better at them. I don't know that I really want to go back and try it on superhero difficulty, because the game, I think, was on the normal difficulty, which is would be considered hard. They named the difficulties really weird. I was just listening to Power Pros podcast earlier, and they said this the same exact thing, which really made me happy, because that's how I felt about it. It's like, they call casual mode, like, if you're actually a casual gamer, casual mode's gonna kick the crap out of you.
Casual for Mega Man, they mean?
I guess. Casual would be normal mode for Mega Man. And normal mode is a hard mode. And superhero mode is like, I don't have time for this. So just don't. Dean looked it up. I talked to Dean about it. He looked it up. There's no special ending when you beat it on superhero mode. So, no.
So why bother?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not out to prove anything.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
I don't owe you, video game.
I did beat a lot of the bosses, almost all the bosses, with just my Mega Buster, though, because I found that the weapons, I just found them mostly useless.
That's sad.
They're really cool, but they're really hard to hit anyone with.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
They are useful in the stages, which is different for me, because I almost never use weapons in stages. Through Mega Man games, but during this one, I'd be like, oh, you know what? I have this cool little spark thing where I can just make a spark run across the wall and get that guy, or I'll bust out Blockman's weapon and take out a guy on a platform floating above me. So that's cool. The weapons are definitely useful in the stages. Just against the Robot Masters, I had a hard time. I didn't feel like they did enough more damage than what I was able to do with the Buster to make it worth the effort to try to hit them with them.
Right.
And honestly, the way their patterns worked out, it was really fun to try to fight them with just the Buster, which is not something that I think happens a lot in Mega Man games, mm-hmm. at least for me. I just have not traditionally enjoyed trying to beat the bosses with just the Buster. I always liked pulling out the special weapons, especially in 7 and 8.
That was so much of the fun, was finding that, like, oh, this is the thing that works against this.
Yeah, and not only that, in 7 and 8, when they started to, like, it had an actual effect on him, you know, like, mm-hmm. You use Danger Wrap against Cloud Man, and he would, like, actually get engulfed in the ball and then fall down. Or, you know, the Thunderbolt on Junkman, and he would actually see him get electrocuted and fall down. And I really liked that kind of stuff. And I don't think that really worked in this game that way. Like, they just got hit and it took more energy away. So, I don't know. Weird game, but all in all, great.
All in all, worth it.
All in all, worth it. So I was going to transition straight over to FighterZ, or Fighters. I don't know. What is it called? Is it Fighters?
I always say FighterZ, but...
I say Fighters. They capitalize the Z. I'm going to say it, darn it. I was going to skip straight to FighterZ, but then my son really wanted me to play Minute out of the freaking blue.
Yeah.
Like, you should play Minute. Okay.
I want to play Minute. I want to play FighterZ.
So I booted up Minute, and I finished it. Because I was apparently really close to the end of the game. And what a great little game.
Yeah, you had talked about that before, of just, like, these little stages, and...
It's one big thing, kind of like a Zelda game, except mm-hmm. you can only play, like, you die every 60 seconds.
Yeah.
But the things that you do don't get undone when you die. You just start back at the last checkpoint, and then you have to, like, try to keep pushing further and further to get to the next checkpoint and whatnot. And I feel like it wasn't clicking with me 100% earlier when I was playing through it, but going back mm-hmm. into it and really finishing it off, I was really impressed with the game. And I genuinely want to thank everybody who suggested it to me, because I had a really good time with that game, and the ending was really cool. There's a whole second quest that I'm not going to touch, because, again, I don't have time for that. I reached the end, and I'm happy with what happened, and I'm happy with the time I spent with it. Really, really cool game. MINIT, if anyone's wondering. Catch it. So then okay. I did start playing FighterZ. And, you know, I like it. I'm not, like, holy crap over the moon. I'm still just super impressed looking at it all the time.
Yeah, it's just really fun to look at.
It really is. The fighting is not really my style. It's so auto combo based, you know?
Yeah, it's button mashy.
It is a bit button mashy, and I'm always been more of a Street Fighter guy, where every hit is, you know, I press this button and it creates every hit, not just I jam on the weak attack to do a combo, I jam on medium attack to do a combo. But I am learning some neat things, like I'm starting to get the hang of the whole, like, I'm fighting somebody and then I tap two buttons and I teleport behind them, and that's kind of neat. I'm messing with the story mode, which is freaking stupid.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's really, really weird.
I mean, it's really ridiculous, even by Dragon Ball standards, but I'm having fun with it because mm-hmm. it's just so stupid. I love that it defaults to the Japanese voices, too, because I wasn't about to turn on the English ones. I love the Japanese voices. So, I've been playing a decent chunk of that, banging out a little bit of that in the mornings before I go to work, and it is fun. I am glad I picked it up. I'm glad I picked it up using store credit and didn't just, you know, dump a bunch of actual money on it, and I'm also glad that I picked it up to support it. Because I'm glad it's on the platform. I said I would, and I did, and it's super cool. And I'm going to play it through.
I enjoy it. I don't know that I've gotten $60 out of it, but, I'm rich, so whatever.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to get $60 out of it, but I am still glad I picked it up. And it's keeping me busy for the time being. And what else is keeping me busy a little bit at night before I go to bed is a game that my friend Mauricio pointed out to me existed called Pixel Puzzle. Mm-hmm. It is a mobile game by Konami. It's basically Picross. I mean, it is literally Picross, but it's like a mobile phone Picross that's all Konami themed. Like Bomberman.
So that's like the greatest thing that's ever happened to you.
Just about. It's pretty wonderful. I mean, I still like my actual, like, official Picross game on the Switch, because I really like having the buttons to move around with it. I like the way it controls, I like the way it feels, I like the way it sounds. But as a mobile version, it does a lot of little quality of life things, where if you finish off a row, it'll automatically X off things that you can't cross in, and draw in, and it's quite nice. Makes the puzzles go by nice and quick. It's free. It hasn't asked me for any money yet, so
it's my favorite four-letter F word.
Yeah, it's a good time. Happy about it.
All right,
Pixel Puzzle by Konami.
I mean, maybe if you play a bunch of this game, they'll make more actual games.
You funny guy. Happy. You are hilarious.
I am. I'm hysterical.
You are. So we got some listener mail recently, and I blew it off last week because I wasn't prepared, but I did do some research into it this time, so we're going to jump right into this real quick before we get to our feature topic. Jamie Hill writes, "Yes! Finally someone mentioned Dino Crisis." I assume he's talking about you, because you were talking about Dino Crisis.
I was. That game's fucking dope.
That was the first game I remember buying with my own money for my PS1, Dino Crisis 2, actually. I remember wanting to purchase Spyro, but I think I was like 7 or 8, and I couldn't afford a game that was more than $20. So since Spyro was more than that, I remember picking up a copy of Dino Crisis 2 in GameStop and thinking, boy, they shouldn't have sold that to him. Well, yeah, that game was very rated M for mature. What the hell? It certainly was. Well, this has dinosaurs, probably just as good as Spyro. After countless dino horror-induced nightmares, I'm a huge Dino Crisis fan, and I still haven't played Spyro. Looking forward to picking up the remake on Switch. As an aside, I purchased $50 worth of Wii points before that option was turned off, and I've been contemplating what I should purchase on there. I recently downloaded an amazing shooter from the WiiWare store, and I love it. I was wondering what your and Dan's top 5 Wii Shop games that you must download. If you could only choose 5 games to download, including WiiWare and Virtual Console, on your Wii before the server went under, what would they be? For me, I would avoid stuff like Super Metroid and Mario World because those are so readily available to me elsewhere. You guys rock. Well, thank you, Jamie. You rock as well.
Yeah, we do rock.
Dan, I'm assuming you don't have a list for this because you hate the Wii.
Well, and yes, and you didn't tell me about it until just now.
That is true.
So no. I mean, I could pretend and we could edit around it and be like, oh, you should totally get this. But I'm just going to read you a list from Giant Bomb. So,
so what I did earlier is I did not narrow it down to a top 5. And I'm sorry for that, because this is just a difficult thing for me to narrow down to a top 5. So what I did was I went through all the different systems, and I just picked a handful of games that I feel are best played on Wii Virtual Console right now. Some of these things are available elsewhere, like the SNES Classic or whatever, or even the Wii U Virtual Console, but the Wii U Virtual Console was great for Super Nintendo, less so for NES. So I'm just going to rattle off the games that I think are worth looking into. I'm sorry I didn't narrow it down to a top 5. So, Virtual Console, NES, Pinball. Pinball is a super overlooked game. I don't know if you'll get $5 worth out of it, but I certainly did. It'll probably show up on the Switch download service at some point.
I would have to imagine,
but I never want to take anything like that for granted with Nintendo.
Sure.
Blades of Steel is on that Virtual Console service. The NES Virtual Console on Wii runs spectacularly well. It is until this most recent NES online thing with the Switch, it was my favorite NES emulation I've ever seen. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Blades of Steel is a great game to play on there because it's a great hockey game. And as far as I know, it isn't really readily available elsewhere. I think the arcade version of Blades of Steel is available on like PlayStation Network, but the NES game was where it's at.
Yeah.
Original Blaster Master. Again, I think it is available in a couple other places. I think it's available on the Wii U Virtual Console. I would avoid that. I would get this for the Wii Virtual Console. It's the best way to play one of my all-time favorite games. Same goes with Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2. Ninja Gaiden 1 is on the NES Classic Edition. 2 is not, and I think 2 is the best out of the original trilogy. F3, I think that game sucks. But Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2, classics. Same with Star Tropics and Zoda's Revenge, Star Tropics 2. Star Tropics is on the NES Classic Edition. But again, the sound emulation is wrong on the NES Classic Edition, which pisses me off to no end. NES Virtual Console is flawlessly emulated, and Star Tropics 1 and 2 are great. Super Mario Bros. Lost Levels, and I think I mentioned the last week, briefly, I mentioned Euphoria, which runs completely wrong, but it's such a bizarre game, it's totally worth it.
Yeah. I would say, out of that list, if you had to pick one out of that list, and I know this isn't going to work for your top five, but I would say Blaster Master, out of all of those, would be
I would
my
say
top.
That, too. If yeah. you had to pick
That's
one
what we'll
of those.
Do. I'll give you my top out of what you picked.
Okay.
I don't know if
that's
helps,
that's fair.
But...
I like that. It's fun. Let's do it.
Okay.
Super Nintendo. Kirby's Dream Course, because you can never have Kirby's Dream Course in too many places. That game's amazing. And if you don't know
disagree.
About it, trust me, it's amazing.
That's not going to be my
pick. No. Kirby's Dream Land 3, also not Dan's pick. It's far from my favorite Kirby game, but it is a really interesting game if you've never played it before. It was a really late Super Nintendo game. It's not on the SNES Classic Edition. I think Dream Course is, but it's a weird game. It actually has a Metroid and Samus in it at some somewhere. Drawn in Kirby's this pastel style. This game is wild. Like, if you've got the extra cash, nothing else is jumping out at you, then that would be a good recommendation. I do think the Wii Virtual Console is the best current place to play Chrono Trigger. I forget if it was put on the Wii U Virtual Console. If it was on Wii U, then go that route. But I think it was only on Wii. And it's one of the best RPGs ever made. And this is probably the cleanest, most beautiful emulation of it you'll find. Also the most accurate. It doesn't include any of the loading times of the PlayStation re-release. It also doesn't include the animated cutscenes, which are super cool. But if you want just a straight up, like the Super Nintendo game emulated brilliantly, that's the way to go. Indiana Jones Greatest Adventures, as well as the Super Star Wars trilogy, are all on this virtual console for some reason, and they're still up, which also surprises me because a lot of the third party stuff did get taken down.
Yeah.
These games aren't the best games you'll ever play, but they're freaking wild, man. They're really cool games. Ogre Battle is another one. It's one that I don't have a lot of experience with, but I know people genuinely love it, and it's also a super expensive Super Nintendo game, so this is a very inexpensive way of getting to play that game if it's your bag. Same with Pilot Wings. That wasn't on the SNES Classic Edition, but that is definitely on the Wii U Virtual Console, so skip that. Go with that on the Wii U Virtual Console. Super Adventure Island 1, and especially 2. Super Adventure Island 2 is a super expensive Super Nintendo game. It plays out very similar to Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap or Zelda 2 The Adventure of Link. Except with an Adventure Island flair to it. The game is wild, and it's really good. It's got a great soundtrack, excellent visuals, totally worth your time. Wild Guns is on there. I know they just did that Wild Guns Reloaded, but that game's super expensive, and if you can get the original Wild Guns for $8, do it.
Yeah.
As well as Super Turrican. Great game, super rare. You probably won't find the cartridge laying around anywhere, but this is a great way to play it.
Chrono Trigger, not even a question.
Agreed. Not even a question. You had to pick one of those, go with Chrono Trigger. But if
I mean,
you already,
just from a value proposition alone.
Yeah. But if you already have Chrono Trigger in some way, shape, or form, my second pick was going to be Super Adventure Island 2.
I would say Ogre Battle because while Super Adventure Island 2 is really good, it is a platformer. And you're not going to find a lot of games comparable to Ogre Battle on the virtual console. Except for what you're going to mention for 60.
That is true. N64, there is only three games that I think are really worth your time there. Sin and Punishment, Ogre Battle 64, and Bomberman Hero. The choice, the obvious choice there being Ogre Battle 64, because one, it is considered by a lot of people to be the best Ogre Battle game. Mm-hmm. It also has the subtitle Person of Lordly Caliber.
Which is great.
Which is wonderful. Yeah.
I would argue out of those that you should get Sin and Punishment, though, because I am a horror for treasure.
Oh, Sin and Punishment is so good. I love Sin and Punishment. My only gripe with it is that it doesn't control great on the virtual console.
Well, that's fine. You can't play it anywhere else. So
that is true.
You know, I mean, 6 and 1.
Did you play the sequel on Wii?
I did not.
Oh, my God.
That was a silly question.
It's so good. It's one of those games because it didn't use motion controls. It used the pointer, which makes perfect sense because there's a pointer on the screen the whole time. So instead of moving it with an analog stick, you just freaking point.
Yeah.
The game works brilliantly. It's completely bananas too. TurboGrafx-16 games are on there. It doesn't matter what I say. Get Rondo of Blood.
Yeah.
Like, New Adventure Island is cute. Newtopia 1 and 2, Bonk Trilogy, Arizonk, whatever. Mm-hmm. Castlevania Rondo of Blood, that Rondo is the Blood. Game to buy. That is the game to buy. This is the best way to get it, at least for now. Do it.
Yeah.
Sega Master System?
That's not even a question either.
Yeah, it's not even a question. Master System, the Alex Kidd games are good. Phantasy Zone 1 and 2 are good. But if I had to pick one, the original Sonic on Master System is a really cool game.
I would probably go with one of the Alex Kidds.
Yeah, understandable. I know you're not a Sonic fan.
It's just not my thing.
The Master System one is so different from the Genesis game because it wasn't, you know, based on speed or anything. It was just a really solid platformer. You know, you didn't go to weird bonus stages to get the Chaos Emeralds that were hidden in the levels.
Yeah.
It was a really neat game. I highly like Sonic 1 on Master System is a totally different game from Sonic 1 on Genesis. Definitely recommend trying it out. Sega Genesis. This one was another kind of a weird one. You could go with something like Dynamite Heady, but that's been released on a bunch of collections. Same with Gunstar Heroes. Mm-hmm. But then you got stuff like Musha. Musha's available on the Virtual Console. That's like one of the most expensive Genesis games. It's a really cool shooter. Monster World 4, which is a Wonder Boy game, sort of, more or less. That's really cool. Mega Turrican. Again, Turrican games are great. They're super expensive whenever you find them. And there's also the Japanese-only Super Fantasy Zone, which is a great 16-bit sequel to Fantasy Zone.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I would go with Gunstar Heroes.
Yeah, I think out of that pack...
I know you can
pack,
get it other places, but it's just so good.
It is. It's very well emulated on the Wii Virtual Console, too. So Gunstar Heroes is a great choice. I wouldn't pick up anything for the Neo Geo. All that stuff is available everywhere. The only thing on Virtual Console Arcade that I think is really worth your money is Space Harrier. Because it's just nice to have an arcade perfect port of Space Harrier at your fingertips at all times.
Yeah.
WiiWare. I'm actually going to skip that one. Fluidity is cool. Yumi and the Cubes is cool. It's weird. I love Excitebike World Rally. It's probably the best modern Excitebike game that they've attempted to make. Excitebike 64 was cool, but this was like Excitebike, like really Excitebike. It's very cool. Maybe not a ton of bang for your buck, but still good.
Mm-hmm.
All the art style games are interesting at the very least. If you're looking for complete insanity, Muscle March, which is the game about big beefy dudes chasing after somebody who stole their protein powder or whatever, and you have to strike poses to break through walls. It's very strange. Tomina Sanner, which I'm still pissed at myself for not downloading it before the service went down, is a weird game where you're like a businessman trying to get home from work and you stop and like do dance moves. The end of every level or something. It's very strange. So highly recommend looking it up. All the Konami Rebirth games, Castlevania Contra, and maybe Contra. Castlevania Contra and maybe Gradius Rebirth, but Castlevania and Contra Rebirth are great. Yeah. Blaster Master Overdrive, if you are a huge fan of the series like I am, is totally worth getting because there is absolutely nowhere else to get that game.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not the best Blaster Master. Blaster Master Zero is superior in every single way. So, depends. And if you're also looking for something very weird, and I'm still sad that this hasn't been ported anywhere, I hope it does eventually gets there someday in some way, is Space Invaders Get Even, which is a Space Invaders game where you play as the invaders.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird 3D thing where you, it defies description. Look it up. Space Invaders Get Even.
That would be my suggestion because it is so damn weird and just not anywhere else.
My number one suggestion would be either Castlevania or Contra Rebirth because I love I think they're great. They're also, again, completely unique. They're not on any other platform. They just aren't
at some point.
I freaking hope so.
I have to imagine they will be.
Yeah, but then so much of this stuff is not anywhere else. Fluidity isn't anywhere else. Excitebike World Rally isn't anywhere else. It's WiiWare is weird. I'm sad that it's gone, and I hope that somebody really, really collects all that stuff and puts it in places.
I am sure they will.
All right, let's get down to business here. We've got zombies to talk about.
Wait, we're getting down to business now?
Now, yes.
That wasn't all that business?
That was not business. That was pleasure. This all is right. Business.
Okay.
Business. Important
40
business.
40 minutes in.
40 minutes in. Let's talk zombies.
Let's
because
do
it's
it.
It's October. It's 31 days of Halloween at geekade.com. And we're here to talk about zombies. So Why don't we just take turns?
Okay.
Do you want to start with this stuff on our interwebs? You want to talk the fans first?
Yeah. Let me scroll down to that, and I'll start reading.
All right. While you're scrolling down, I'll read one. Because I don't know what I copy pasted a few of them in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And all right. We got Matt's here. So Matt Flamger, I believe is how he told us it's supposed to be pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool guy. Like him a lot. He wrote, "Hollow Men from Fable 2 were always cool. They floated in the air as wisps, which then dropped into the ground and spawned Hollow Men from the ground. One of the coolest things about them is with ranged weapons, you can target individual limbs and blow them off, and they will still chase you, heads included."
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I've never played Fable 2.
I played like 10 minutes of Fable 1 and went, eh. And that was about my experience with Fable. So that sounds pretty dope. I'm going to go with Mr. Liam L. Johnson. Said, "I always hated the mummies and zombies ate my neighbors a lot. Just because they took 5 hits with the default weapon. There were plenty of sprites that sucked more, but this is an undead one. The Jason Voorhees guy was probably the worst, but he isn't undead.
That we know of.
That we know of." What is Jason?
I don't know.
I don't.
What is bootleg Jason and Zombies Ate My Neighbors?
That's a good point. Zombies Ate My Neighbors is a cool game.
It is. It is definitely a cool game. That wound up on my list of things to talk about.
Yeah, mine too.
Henry Vird. Sure, VIR'd. Again, on the Stone Age Gamer Facebook page, wrote, "Best House of the Dead. Worst, Metal Slug 3 zombies. Bullet sponges that throw their intestines at you and make you transform into a slow one yourself, though the blood vomit missile ability is cool."
It is a pretty sweet ability. I love Metal Slug.
Metal Slug is pretty awesome.
I mean, it's pretty great, but... let's see. Jonathan Robert from Mutant Musings. "Those mummies in Pharaoh Man stage that shot their biting heads at you freaked me the F out when I was young. Also, Lord Raptor from Darkstalkers is kick ass."
Couldn't agree more.
That's right.
We'll Thank talk you, more Jonathan. About him in a minute. He actually sent another one because he posted it somewhere else. He sent me a message earlier. Let me see if I can grab that.
He posted it on Vine somehow. It's weird.
Yeah, he knows things about the internet that I don't. Someone said, he didn't tell me who said it, but somebody somewhere where he posted it said, "Redeads or Bibdos," which I assume he means Gibdos, "worst Stalnox from Breath of the Wild." Yeah, that was, yeah. I hated Stalnox. I mean, I loved Stalnox, but I also hated him.
That was on a chat roulette, or whatever the fuck that thing was.
I don't know. Oh, also, Dark Lich from Secret of Mana is amazing, and I love his music. Word.
That's very good.
Let's see. Thomas Sherrington. "Do ghost Pokemon count? Because I'd have to say I love the original Ghost Trio and think they deserve a mention." Well, there you go, Thomas. They have been mentioned.
They have been mentioned, indeed.
Officially. And then we have one more from Larry Francis Jr. on the Geekade Facebook page. Said, "Redead from The Legend of Zelda, The Ocarina of Time. Used to hate these guys." I think that's a pretty good transition because that was one of the first ones that came to my mind when thinking about the zombies in video games. And these things were terrifying. Like in Ocarina of Time, there wasn't a lot of truly disturbing imagery, but the stuff that was disturbing, like the guy that was half turned into a Skulltula, was really disturbing. And these Redeads were just like, they did that blood-curdling shriek at you and would freeze you in place while they came at you and then jumped on your back and started eating your head.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And they're so hideous. They're all naked and brown and, oh, God, they're so hideous. Those things are gro-freaking-tesque.
They really are.
All right, your turn.
Have you ever played The Last of Us, Chris?
No.
Okay. What stands out to me about The Last of Us is that these are not zombies in the traditional sense of the word. These are humans that have been infected with...
Kind of like Resident Evil 4?
kind of like Resident Evil 4, kind of like 28 Days Later, where the humans in that movie have been infected with rage. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can check out my 31 years and 31 days post right here on geekade.com every day this month. They're infected with what? Rage. Anyway.
Like, have you ever seen 28 Days Reavers. Later?
Reavers.
But these ones in, man, in the first time you come across a clicker, who's the first of these infected that you meet in The Last of Us, they are called clickers because they make a clicking noise as you're kind of walking through this building. And they have like this weird like fungus that's growing out of them. And it's so goddamn unsettling, because by the time The Last of Us came out, right, we've all played 100 zombie games, we've all seen 100 zombie movies, and then here was this thing where you could tell that these were humans that were sick. You know, like something terrible had happened. This wasn't just like, oh, it's a creepy monster. This was a problem that didn't get solved. And now there's a whole other host of problems that we have to deal with. And they're just really, really disturbing looking. And, you know, they get progressively worse throughout the game. But goddamn, that first time you run across the clickers, man, that is something else.
I'll play it one of these days.
You really should. It really is worth it. I mean, it's Naughty Dog. They don't make bad games.
They don't. I remember our E3 conversation when I watched all that stuff from Last of Us 2 and thought to myself, I don't want that in my life. This is amazing, but I don't need, I was stressed out watching somebody else play it.
I don't need to be that sad and stressed.
I just don't know that I need that. All right, well, I will head back to Zelda and talk about Gyarados from the original Legend of Zelda. They're the mummy characters. And they were in, you know, Link to the Past as well, which were very memorable because you could freeze them and hit them with a hammer and they'd drop magic.
Which is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. But the ones in the original NES Zelda were, especially when I was a kid, now I've gotten, they're, you know, pretty easy to just avoid as an adult and knowing what I'm doing. But man, if you really tried to get in there and really scrap with them up close, those guys did some serious damage. And, like, they just looked so happy.
They really did.
They got their hands up in the air, like, yay, somebody's here. And they walk into you and you die.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, yeah, they were very cool, though.
They were very cool. Very strange name.
Very strange name. And, you know, when we were kids and hadn't seen anything, you know, better, they were really creepy.
There was definitely a level of creepiness to them, even though they were super happy. They were definitely a bit on the creepy side.
Makes it a little bit scarier when they're happy.
A little bit. All right, do one more and then we'll take a break.
Okay, I am going to go with the player character then in Zombie U, which is not a great game. It's an okay game. It's fun enough. But what makes it so cool is that as you're playing through the game, if you are killed, you become another random person. Like, you don't just get like a second life as your character, and any of the stuff that you were carrying, if you go back to where you died, you can get that stuff back because there will be a zombie version of the character you once were with a backpack full of your shit,
which is awesome. Zombie U was such a great concept.
Yeah.
What a great concept. One of the few situations where it's like, because they ported that game to other platforms. And
they did.
I haven't,
yeah, on PS4. It's
not the same.
It's just not quite up to the level that you would expect a more modern game to be. Because it is a very cool concept.
And especially with the Wii U, because it took such advantage of the gamepad. Like, whenever you wanted to go into your inventory, you had to look down at the gamepad while the game was going on, just like in real life. So if there were zombies chasing you and you stopped to look at your inventory, you got to pay attention to the main TV screen, which is showing what's going on around you while you're rooting through your backpack.
Right. There was no pause screen.
Yeah. It was very, very, very well intentioned. But like the original Red Steel, all the intentions in the world don't don't do anything if the game's not great to begin with. Right. While Zombie U is a much better game than the original Red Steel, Red Steel 2 was a pretty great game that nobody played because the name was tainted. And to be fair, Zombie U has a pretty terrible title.
I mean, it's not a great title. it's really not.
It wasn't of no surprise to me that game didn't sell. It could have, if it was more refined, if it had a little bit more going on, I've more time in the oven, much like the Wii U itself. I think it could have spelled a different, like if that game had been as good as it had, as it lived up to its promise. I think it would have changed a lot of things as far as the third party landscape on the Wii U. It was Ubisoft doing something interesting with the gamepad. Yeah, Ubisoft was doing that. They did Rayman again with the gamepad. Like best version of that is on the Wii U because of the gamepad integration for multiplayer was so smart. The asymmetric gameplay was really smart. They were really trying to figure out how to use that gamepad even to a better degree than Nintendo was in some ways. Unfortunately, it just kind of stopped being a thing because end of the day, gamepad really wasn't that great of an idea. It was a great idea in theory. Yeah, it was a great idea, not a great thing in reality.
Yeah, it just was not executed well. It wasn't comfortable to hold for extended period.
We don't need to reiterate the Wii U's many failings, but Zombie U is super interesting.
What a piece of shit.
Let's do that for the rest of the show.
No more zombies. Let's talk about the zombie that was Nintendo.
The Walking Dead that was the Wii U. All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the zombies we've got on speed dial here for you. You are listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, Chris, terror. The feeling of terror is tough to maintain in the long term. The scariest pieces of horror entertainment have also traditionally been the shortest. Sean Hayes is here to explain how that applies to video games and how the most successful ones strike a balance between length and replay value. Sometimes the biggest scares come from the most familiar situation. Intrigued? Read all about it in Into the Terrifying Valley, Resident Evil 7, located in the think tank.
Very, very thoughtful piece. Really kind of reiterated why I'll probably never play that game. Again, I just don't need that stress in my life.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4 was pretty much it for me, and I will replay that game as many times as they release it. But I think I might have gotten everything I ever need to get out of that franchise.
I don't know.
Anyway, next. This season of the Venture Brothers has been a roller coaster, and Trish Reyes has been there for us the entire ride. As the season comes to a close, we're left with more questions. Will Team Monarch be triumphant? Will Brock go on his first killing spree in ages? How did Hank emerge from Coma Town? If you were waiting to see the season, if you were waiting for the season to end to binge them all, now's a great time to take in all of Season 7. And then kick back with our excellent recap series, including the season finale of The Spoiler Brothers.
I love that show.
Me too. I haven't watched any of this season.
Me neither. Gonna binge. Kick back with an excellent recap.
I am. I have been reading her recaps, so I'm a bit on the spoiled side because somebody has to edit them. But even
nobody
still,
else works here.
Even still, I don't feel that I've missed that I'll be missing anything when I watch the show, because she does a great job of. That show is pretty dense to begin with.
Yeah, it really is. Well, finally, Chris, Geekade. Hey, that's us. Our 31 Days of Halloween keeps rolling on with a new installment of our Tales from the Crypt series. If you've ever wondered to yourself, Martha, that's what I call myself, Martha, I wonder where I can see the likes of Katie Sagal, Sam Kinison, and Iggy Pop all work together to bring to life the tale of a murderous music producer whose hearing is cursed. Well then, Martha, look no further. Click on over. Click on over to Alex Azar's latest Rising from the Crypt for crying out loud. Get it?
Yeah, no, I get it.
No, I do.
So I've never been a huge fan of Tales from the Crypt. I'm not going to lie. Say
you're
that I am.
A maniac.
But I've been editing, as he's been doing this full series recap, I've been editing all of them and thinking like, wow, that sounds stupid. Wow, that sounds really stupid. Mm. This episode was so off the wall. I was like, holy crap. I kind of want to watch this one. This is ridiculous.
It's so good. Tales from the Crypt was amazing.
And I think this episode also featured the Crypt Keeper in a wig, so... Mm-hmm. Can't beat that with a stick. Although, when Karen wrote this commercial, she mentioned, where can I see Katie Seagal and Sam Kinison together? It's like, hey, there was an episode of Married with Children that had Sam Kinison in it.
There certainly was.
It was the Christmas episode where it was the It's a Wonderful Life, except Sam Kinison was the angel. Good times.
He was an angel.
A screamy angel.
God, I love Sam Kinison.
You can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com. And we're back. Or as Dan said, and we're front. Let's see where we leave off. It was my turn.
It was your turn.
All right, so I still don't know that this guy is specifically a zombie or undead, or even because they weren't really zombies in Resident Evil 4. They were infected by whatever the hell that was. Mm-hmm. God, Resident Evil 4 is a weird game. But that chainsaw guy from Resident Evil 4 is one of the most memorable, like, undead death creatures there's ever been for me.
Yeah, fuck that dude.
I love that guy so much. Because, like, why does he have the bag on his head? I mean, like, clearly nobody around here is concerned with their looks. It's not like, did this guy wake up and say, I'm a monster, put a bag over his head, and then, like, how does he see?
Maybe he was too pretty.
Oh, maybe he was too pretty. Maybe he's, like, super gorgeous under there.
Yeah,
like, maybe he's Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt is chainsaw hands. I think, honestly, it was more just a nod to Splatterhouse. But
could be, or Texas Chainsaw Massacre or whatever. I don't know. He was awesome. I love that guy. I loved getting killed by that guy. I think he just terrified me the first time I played. It was so intense.
Yeah,
and I think
scary,
like
the
second or third time I played it, I was so confident with myself because there was like that demo. I played through that demo a crap load of times and I was like super confident of that. I knew what I was doing. And I went upstairs, start picking off guys. And I was like, huh. Where's the chainsaw guy? Turned around and immediately just chopped off my head. I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
Okay. I'm dead.
I am super dead.
That is my severed head.
Super dead. No, he was really cool and really well done. And like, he never felt cheap.
Yeah, because you could kill him. He took a lot more shots than your typical guy, but you could take him down.
But you could take him down, and you know, it was never like, oh, here's the cheap death to send me back to the beginning. Like, here's the game padding.
Yeah.
That
here's
was never,
Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah, that was never really in there, so I always liked him. He was cool. I'm going to stick with Capcom, Chris, and I'm going to go with the Undead Horde from Dead Rising.
Yes.
Now, Dead Rising is not a very good video game.
But it is a very fun video game.
But it is a very fun video game. And it has that certain wow factor the first time you play it. Much like State of Emergency from Rockstar. Of a, holy shit, how did they fit all of that onto the screen at once?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts.
There's so much. And I remember playing, you know, old NES game, and it's like, oh, I shot three, you know, pellets, pew, 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 and now everything's flickering and slowing down, and now there's a bajillion zombies on the screen. And, God, just the horde in Dead Rising. In my notes, I put that they were slow, stupid, and never-ending. Because they were just... never ending. And what was fun about that game was the the level of senseless violence that you could commit while dressed up like Mega Man.
Or better yet, with a Servbot helmet on.
Or with a Servbot helmet on. Or in Bermuda shorts. It was
or
so,
both.
It was so ridiculous and so fun. And just so impressive to see that many shuffling, stupid zombies all on screen at once.
Loved yeah, it. that was a really fun game. I love the original Dead Rising.
Then they kept doing it. It was like, yeah. Right.
I didn't play either of the sequels. I did briefly play the Wii version of Dead Rising, which was an admirable attempt. And honestly, the reason I played it was because I just loved the subtitle Chop Till You Drop.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Yeah.
The problem is that while it was still fun and still essentially that game, it lost all the wow factor because they just didn't have all the zombies on the screen.
Yeah, it just like was not the same.
Smaller hordes of zombies.
Yeah. It was like it's a much more manageable horde, and that wasn't really what I was going for in this game.
It was one of those situations of Capcom, like, just because you can, you can port Dead Rising to the Wii, yeah, but you probably shouldn't.
When there's not enough zombies on the screen, when I can like just walk around and be like, I'm just going to go to the left.
I'm going to go over there where the zombies aren't.
Yeah, I'm just going to be over here in housewares.
There shouldn't be anywhere the zombies aren't.
Right.
Anyway,
I digress. And so do you.
I do. I'm going back to mummies.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about the mummies from Castlevania 1.
Mm.
Those guys gave me some problems when I was a kid. Because they just... I don't know how they're shooting their bandages at me.
Yeah, it's a weird attack.
Because eventually, aren't they going to run out? And also, why does that hurt?
Yeah, why? You hit me with cloth. I mean, really old cloth.
No, he threw a towel at me.
Yeah. Ugh.
Please, no.
Prick? That's more of a, hey.
It always reminds me of that scene from The Naked Gun where he throws the pillow at him and he goes, oh!
We aren't allowed to talk about that movie anymore, though, Chris. Got a murderer in it.
Well, yeah, for like 4 seconds, and they do terrible things to him.
Yeah, well,
I'm fine with that.
That's
true. Oh, boy. I actually just started watching the original Police Squad. I had never seen it before. And it was interesting to see how many of the jokes they took from that show and put in the movie.
Yeah.
But also just seeing like the genesis of it. It's so much more of that exact humor.
Yeah. Police Squad was fantastic. As was Get Smart.
Oh, Get Smart was great.
So good. Anyway.
Anyway.
Mummies. Back to Mummies Alive. Good cartoon show. That's what you were talking about, right? I wasn't listening.
Exactly. Yeah.
So... There was a, we mentioned, when we were talking about zombies, we mentioned Death Jr., which was this really cool game on the PSP, back when Sony gave a shit about the PSP, as a brand, and they were trying to grow it with like these weird and interesting new things. And there's a game that came out also on the original PSP called Deadhead Fred.
Oh, I remember Deadhead Fred.
Have you ever played Deadhead Fred?
Maybe. I don't remember. I feel like maybe I did.
Okay. The story of Deadhead Fred is that you, as Fred, are a private investigator. Okay? You're a private dick. Hmm. And unfortunately for you, you've recently been decapitated. So when you wake back up in a lab, your brain and eyeballs are in a jar attached to your body. And then you have to go out and solve crimes. And you can switch heads throughout the game and get like different abilities. It's ridiculous.
God, wasn't there the voice acting in this? I remember being very good. I did play a little bit of this.
Fred is voiced by Dr. Knox. From Scrubs, Dr. Cox. I don't know.
I knew it. Yeah, John C. McGinley, right?
Yes, yes.
I knew that. Yes, that's right. Oh, man, I totally forgot about this game.
Yeah, it's...
What a good pick.
It's so weird, and nobody played it. Because, like, it's weird, right? Because your main character didn't have, like, you didn't have weapons per se. You had abilities based on the head you were holding at the time, or using at the time, I guess is the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. Like, you would get different combat abilities depending on the head you had on. So that was kind of weird, and it was on the PSP, so, like, people didn't play it. But it was really funny, and, like, had this really just tongue-in-cheek kind of, like, 1940s, like, high pants, fast talking kind of thing going on. It was just such a cool game, and I really, really liked it. And, I like, this is the type of game where I would love to see a remake of this.
Oh, my God, seriously. Because, yeah. I can't believe I forgot about this game. It was never released on anything else.
No, this is it.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
It's so weird. And it takes place in New Jersey. So, I mean, you know, in Hope Falls, New Jersey, which is great.
What a great pick, man. Wow. I can't believe I completely forgot about that game. Crap. And I was like, I'm thinking about it now. Like, I remember I was working in the Union City Game Crazy, and I kept thinking to myself, I should really buy this because I freaking love John C. McGinley, and I don't care how cruddy the actual action of the game is. I just want to listen to him talk in this game as an undead brain guy in a jar attached to different bodies.
Yeah. Super weird.
Crap super baskets. Weird. I gotta get that game now. I gotta find a way to play that.
Yeah,
good
find
pick.
Yeah, find a I mean, you know, find a legal way to play this game, or, you know, whatever. You do you, boo. It's really awesome. You should definitely check it out. It's not the greatest game ever made, but, like, it, you know, I'm looking at the review scores for it, and, like, it scored fairly well.
It won an award for its writing, too.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Sometimes that's enough. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the type of game where I can tell you, like, honestly, you are not going to play anything else like this. This is a game unto itself. Like, yes, it's an action game and, like, all that, but the DNA of this game is just so interesting. It is absolutely worth checking out. This might be one of those ones that I have to find a Bits and Brews when I'm ready to bring that back.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very expensive. It doesn't seem like it's a super hard game to find. Who made this? This was Vicious Cycle. What else did they do?
I don't know.
They're from North Carolina.
Well, that's a problem.
Making games about New Jersey. Boy, I tell you.
Dare you.
Looks like they haven't done anything since 2015. We're talking like a lot of licensed properties. Ben 10, Madagascar, Turbo, Pac-Man, and the Ghostly Adventures.
That sucks. Good TV show, but.
Oh, God, they did Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you can't win them all.
I did set you up for a perfect segue into the next game you want to talk about, Chris, which is
Zombie Robots from Shade Man State.
Oh, man, you really fucked that up.
I did.
Damn it, let's try that again. I did set you up for a perfect segue for the next game you want to talk about, Chris, which is
Stubbs the Zombie?
Perfect. Well done, sir.
All right, yeah.
That's why you're the host and I'm only the co-host.
That's not true. It's not true at all.
I'm the host?
No, we're both the host.
Oh, okay.
The only reason my name goes first is because I do all the writing.
Oh, that's a good point. It's a good point.
You ever hear this show when you're not on it? I'm boring.
Yeah, you really are terrible. God.
Stubbs the Zombie.
Stubbs the Zombie is such a dope game. I love it. And, like, I don't feel like anybody else did.
You know what? It was one of those critically acclaimed games that didn't really catch on with people too much.
Well, because, like, Stubbs the Zombie was made by former members of Bungie, correct?
I'm going to have to trust you on that one. Let me look it up while you're talking.
I am almost 100% sure that I remember. Because this was an Xbox exclusive game. It was a Microsoft exclusive. And I remember being like, ah, damn it. I really
Alexander Seropian, co-founder of Bungie.
Yeah, like
and he had behind Halo, Myth, and Marathon.
Yeah,
yeah.
So like this should have been
Wide Load Games,
a huge deal. But when we were working in video game stores when this came out, like it did not sell well, at least where I was. And I pushed the hell out of this game because I thought it was really clever and really charming. And it had an amazing, amazing soundtrack of all these just old classic songs done by modern artists. I mean, to the point where Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie does a version of Earth Angel for this soundtrack. That was the first song that my wife and I danced to at our wedding. I love it that much. Not because it's in this game, but because we're hipsters and we really like Death Cab for Cutie and Back to the Future. So it was like, yeah, let's totally do this. But man, it has this great soundtrack. It played really well. It was just really clever and interesting. It's such a cool game.
It is a very cool game. I've played very little of it. I did buy it, but again, I didn't play a lot of it. And I think that was... I feel like at the time that this came out, there wasn't a lot of audience for this kind of game on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, at this point, the Xbox was kind of the Halo machine. Microsoft kept trying to throw a lot of interesting curveballs at everybody, you know, they had some great Sega properties with Panzer Dragoon Orta, even Otagi, Myth of Demons.
Yeah.
You had Raises Hell. There were some interesting properties coming out on the Xbox, but for some reason they just never really connected with the audience the way that some of the other Xbox properties did. I do wonder if they really kind of did a re-release of this game now, if it would stick around or if it would find a better audience now. But I feel like this is the kind of game that would have done better on PlayStation or modern Nintendo. Like, it certainly wouldn't have done any better back on the GameCube, because, you know...
No, certainly not. But this... Because you're right. This kind of came out at the height of the Xbox is the bro system. Which, you know, like, obviously it's not. And we joke about it. But, like, you know, there was this perception of, if it's not a first-person shooter, why are you even bothering to release this on Xbox?
There was a lot of that back then.
I mean, there just really, really was. And you had this really cool, quirky, weird game that, you know, not only was it this, like, set up in this weird retro world, but it was like a retro future world. Like, mm-hmm. What people, like, back in the tens and the aughts imagined that the 30s and 40s would be, you know, in the future kind of thing. Like, so there were, like, hover cars and just, like, weird sci-fi shit. Like, it's just this really fucking cool game. And I don't even know what else Wide Load put out. I don't think they put out much else.
I don't think they did either. Let's see. Their Wikipedia page doesn't have much. Stubbs a Zombie, their sophomore project, Hail to the Chimp. Oh god. Hail to the Chimp. I remember that game.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Boo. PS3 and 360 on that one. Additionally, Wide Load and recently released information, their new group, Wide Load Shorts. Wide Load Shorts will be making smaller games like Xbox Live Arcade. The first game, Cyclomite, was released in March 2008. Wow, this is a very updated page. Oh, they went defunct in 2014.
Yeah, so, like...
They developed Guilty Party. I remember hearing about this game. This was a project they worked on with Disney,
mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like a whodunit type game for the Wii.
Mm.
This was one of those games I was surprised didn't do better on the Wii, because it was very much one of those...
like a party game kind of thing?
Sort of a party game, but one of those very think-out-of-the-box kind of games that was really aimed at kids. This should have really clicked with the audiences, especially with the Disney connectivity, but I guess the character designs really didn't resonate with people, but I didn't realize they did that game. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Shame that studio didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah. Speaking of Disney, my wife just sent me a thing as we are sitting here live. It's... an interesting tweet that she just found. It said, why do millennials hate the rich? Why do millennials pirate everything? Why do millennials drift towards socialism? Why are millennials furries? One answer, Disney's Robin Hood. So there you go.
There you go.
That is my favorite Disney movie. I don't know. I waffle between that and Great Mouse Detective. Anyway, neither here nor there. Yeah, but there is a Disney connection. So, you know, tangentially linked.
Good work. All right, let's each do one or two more because it's getting late.
All right, well, just to briefly mention Lord British, which got a mention earlier. Lord British in Darkstalkers, not my favorite character to use, but he was a zombie rock star who was Australian. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Also from Dark, I'm just putting my three fighting game characters together. I'm breaking your rules, Chris. Xian Ko, also from Darkstalkers. Let's try that again. Xian Ko, also from Darkstalkers.
Is that how you say that?
Yeah, I think so.
I've always been saying Xian Ko because it starts with the H, but
it does. I don't know.
What the hell do I know? I don't speak Chinese.
I also don't speak Chinese. So if you speak Chinese, please drop us a line and give us the correct phonetic pronunciation. And also of this word, the Jiangshi hopping ghost zombies that are a mythological entity in Chinese folklore.
Oh my god, I never pieced that together. She's really? Always been just this creepy-ass character to me, and there's always been something like vaguely familiar. They have those same type of characters in Super Mario Land.
Yeah, and in Kung Fu Kid, which you can read about in my Kung Fu Fridays articles right here on Geekade.com, where I paired Kung Fu movies and Kung Fu video games. Kung Fu Kid was dope. Sega Master System. Anyway, and also Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, undead ninja zombie.
Yeah, good call.
That's just awesome. So there you go.
All right, a couple more quick hits for me. I'll talk about the zombie robots in Shade Man stage from Mega Man 7, specifically the ones that are basically robot versions of the zombies from the Ghosts and Goblins games.
Yeah.
Because that's awesome. The dancing zombies in Moonwalker. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. You run around, you can make all the bad guys dance. When you do it with the zombies, it's freaking fantastic. Gotta love ghost zombies from House of the Dead 2.
Yes.
Because they were super gross. Not ghost zombies, gross zombies. They were super gross, and I loved making their heads explode. House of the Dead 2 is amazing.
It is. And Typing of the Dead.
Yes, Typing of the Dead as well, which is just House of the Dead 2 with keyboards and hilarity. God, I love Typing of the Dead.
It's really an amazing game that we will never see anything like it again. Which is
no,
sad.
Never. But the number one that I wanted to... the number one guy on my list is the zombie version of LeChuck. From
I figured that was going to be yours.
Yeah, I mean, Monkey Island is great. No, Monkey Island 2, he was a ghost pirate in the first one, and then thanks to the root beer at the end, he was very, very gone. But then was resurrected from a voodoo curse as a zombie. So he's Zombie LeChuck in the second game. Nice and gross, super funny writing. Play Monkey Island; those games are great.
You really should. Pretty great.
Yeah.
I think that that about wraps us up.
That about wraps it up. Well, I mean, that's, yeah, you're
except
right.
Except for Commander Shepard. Spoilers. Anyway, it's funny to a couple people. You don't.
Yeah, sorry, I don't get it.
It's all right.
Is that Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Was he dead the whole time, or does he just look dead?
That's the second one. Dies in like the first 10 minutes. Whatever. Fine. I like when we end our show on a kind of
anticlimactic mumbling.
Yes.
This is quality podcasting, right?
And I believe we've done so. Join us next week for the October 10, 2030. No, fuck you. I'm doing it.
No, you're doing
featuring
it. Okay, go
games
ahead.
Like Super Mario Brothers 2 for the NES, Metal Gear Solid for PlayStation, Little Big Planet for PS3, and more. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for even more fresh original content. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram, Which is at Geek8. What? Don't move shit around when I'm reading. God
damn
it.
Well, that's the reason I read this, because I don't edit it well, so I kind of have to edit it as I'm going along. And I just realized that sentence you already read is supposed to be the last one.
Yeah, I know. That's whatever. It's fine. You can find us on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. That's where at Geek8. You can subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all of our myriad of video content. Follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, and Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested
in more Dan,
that's right. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to send a huge thanks to Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for even more fresh, original content. Like the words I've already said. That's it, everybody. For myself and Dan, keep playing games.
Do, 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 do.